वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते 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 वासुदेवाय।
Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 4, Text 36. Daily cell phone check, please. You don't have one. Very good. 10 extra points. Kalindya,
Kalindya,
Patibhi, Siddha,
Siddha,
Ahobhir,
Ahobhir,
Paratarshapa,
Paratarshapa,
Prapadyata,
Prapadyata,
Swa,
Swa,
Swaritam,
Swaritam,
Yatra,
Yatra,
Mitra,
Mitra,
Suto,
Suto,
Munihi,
Munihi,
Kalindya Kotibhi Siddha,
Kalindya Kotibhi Siddha,
Ahobhir Paratarshapa,
Ahobhir Paratarshapa,
Prapadyata Swasaritam,
Prapadyata Swasaritam,
Yatra Mitra Suto Munihi,
Yatra Mitra Suto Munihi,
Kalindya Kotibhi Siddha,
Kalindya Kotibhi Siddha,
Ahobhir Paratarshapa,
Ahobhir Paratarshapa,
Prapadyata Swasaritam,
Prapadyata Swasaritam,
Yatra Mitra Suto Munihi,
Yatra Mitra Suto Munihi,
Kalindya Kativi Siddha,
Ahobhir
Paratarshapa,
Prapadyata
Swasaritam,
Yatra Mitra Suto Munihi,
Yatra Mitra Suto Munihi,
Kalindya
Kativi Siddha,
Ahobhir
Paratarshapa,
Prapadyata
Swasaritam,
Yatra Mitra Suto
Munihi,
Kalindya
Kativi Siddha,
Ahobhir
Paratarshapa,
Prapadyata
Swasaritam,
Yatra Mitra Suto
Munihi. Ladies.
Kalindya
Kativi Siddha,
Ahobhir
Paratarshapa,
Prapadyata Swasaritam,
Prapadyata Swasaritam,
Yatra Mitra Suto Munihi,
Kalindya,
Kalindya,
on the bank of the Jamuna,
on the bank of the Jamuna,
Kativhi,
Kativhi,
a few, Siddhe,
Siddhe,
being so past,
being so past,
Ahobhi,
Ahobhi,
days, Bharata Rishabha,
Bharata Rishabha,
O best of the Bharata dynasty,
O best of the Bharata dynasty,
Prapadyata,
Prapadyata,
reached.
Swaha,
Swaha,
Swaritam,
the celestial water of the Ganges.
Yatra,
where?
Mitra,
Mitra,
Sutaha,
Sutaha,
the son of Mitra.
Munihi,
Munihi,
sage. After passing a few days on the bank of the river Jamuna, Vidura, the self-realized soul, reached the bank of the Ganges, where the great sage Maitreya was situated. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 3rd canto, 4th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Vidura Approaches Maitreya. Chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya. Text 1. Sri Shuku Vacha Dvaritu Nadya Rishapa Kurunam Maitreya Masina Magada Bodham Kshatopasritya Chuta Bhavasitha Praprachcha Shaushilya Gunabhitriptaha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Vidura, the best amongst the Kuru dynasty, who was perfect in devotional service to the Lord, thus reached the source of the celestial Ganges River, Hardwar, where Maitreya, the great fathomless learned sage of the world, was seated. Vidura, who was perfect in gentleness and satisfied in transcendence, inquired from him. Vidura was already perfect due to his unalloyed devotion to the infallible Lord. The Lord and the living entities are all qualitatively the same by nature, but the Lord is quantitatively much greater than any individual living entities. He is ever infallible, whereas the living entities are prone to fall under the illusory energy. Vidura had already surpassed the fallible nature of the living entity in conditional life due to his being achutabhava, or legitimately absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord. This stage of life is called achutabhava siddha, or perfection by dint of devotional service. Anyone, therefore, who is absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord is a liberated soul and has all admirable qualities. The learned sage Maitreya was sitting in a solitary place on the bank of the Ganges at Hardwar, and Vidura, who was a perfect devotee of the Lord and possessed all good transcendental qualities, approached him for inquiry.
Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadalvayam Tadhati Shapadhatikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Jata Pada Kamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Shagrajatam, Shahagana Raganatam Vitam Stansarivam, Sadvaitam Savatutam, Pradijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Shahagana Dalita, Sri Vishakhan Vitamascha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Pantho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchako Patarubhyascha Kripasindho Bhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Paramananda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kalindya Kutipi Siddha Ahobir Bhartarshava
Prapadyata Swasaritam Yatra Mitra Sudomunihi Sri Shukavacha,
Dwari Dyunadya Rishapa Kurunam Maitreyam Asinam Agadabhotam Kshato Pasrityachuta Bhavasiddha Prapraccha Shavshila Yuganavichuta. Srila Prabhupada especially glosses Achuta Bhavasiddha. The situated in the perfection of Achuta Bhava. The bhava can mean nature, bhava can mean love for Krishna, ecstatic love. Achuta bhava siddha, the perfection of being situated in Krishna consciousness. Achuta, infallible. And one who becomes Krishna conscious also becomes infallible. Nirdosham hi. Samam brahma tasmat brahmanite stata. The Krishna conscious person is situated on the transcendental platform. He is also considered infallible when he comes to the platform of perfection. In the spiritual, Srila Prabhupada explains, or Krishna explains in the 15th chapter, that there are two kinds of living beings. Dva vimo purushav loke kshadas chakshara evacha kshadas sarvani bhutani kutas dokshara uchate. The kshara and akshara. Kshara, Srila Prabhupada translates as fallible, and akshara, infallible. Kshadas sarvani bhutani. In the material world, all living beings are fallible. And kutastha akshara uchite. Those who are situated in the spiritual world, or those who've attained the perfection of Krishna consciousness, are called akshara, infallible. Uttama purushastvanya paravat me tu dharita. Yo loka trayamavishya bibhartya vyaya ishara. But there's another purusha. Purusha means person. There are fallible persons and infallible persons. But there's another person, uttama purusha, the supreme person. Uttama purusha means purusha uttama. Purusha uttama means purusha uttama. You put purusha and uttama together, and you get purushottama. So that's Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, who's above all others. Anya, he's another person. He's not the same as the infallible living beings. The Mayavad philosophy will say that when you become infallible, you become identical in all respects with the supreme. That's their philosophy. Now I'm fallible because I'm identifying with matter, but when I regain my infallible position, then I become one with the ultimate, I become one with God, I become non-different from God, I become God, however they want to say it. I become one with the absolute, I become the absolute, I realize that I always was the absolute, whatever you want to say. But that's not accepted here in Bhagavad Gita. Purusha Anya. Uttama Purusha Anya. There's another person. Paramatmeti. Paramatma iti udharata. He is known as the Paramatma. I'm known as Atma, but I'm not known as the Paramatma. I may be known as Atma or Brahma, but I'm not Param Brahma. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adi Deva Mityam Divyam. That Paramatma is Krishna. So, Yo Loka Trayamavisha Bibhartya Vyaya Ishvara, the infallible personality of Godhead, the inexhaustible personality of Godhead, who's maintaining everything. is different from the individual soul, whether conditioned or liberated. It's not that the liberated soul becomes the supreme soul. That's rejected in Bhagavad Gita. The conditioned soul is conditioned, the liberated soul is liberated, and they're both subordinate to the personality of God. Yasmat kshadam matito hum aksharad vichoktama. I'm beyond the fallible living beings, and aksharad api cha uttama. I'm superior to the infallible living beings also. Atosmi, therefore, loke vede cha, both in the world and in the Vedic literature, pratita purushottama. I'm celebrated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Krishna. Yomam eva masambhuto janati purushottama. Sa sarvavid patiti imam sarvabhavena bhavata. One who knows Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without any doubt, without being bewildered, asamutta, janati, he knows. Sa sarvavid, he knows everything. Yasmin vigyate sarvameva vigyata bhavati. If one knows Krishna, one knows everything. Prabhupada said, just like if you know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you know all the numbers there are, because all the other numbers are included. Krishna. One who knows Krishna knows everything. Because Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. Krishna includes everything. And once we know that Krishna is everything, then what? Yes, now I've attained perfection. I know that Krishna is everything. No. Sa sarvavid bhajati maam. Therefore, he engages in my service. Prabhupada gave the example, if you know that your uncle is some big man, that doesn't really help you unless you do something. You approach your uncle and say, sir, I need a job. Couldn't you engage me in government service or engage me in your company? When you come forward and establish a relationship, then something's happening. Otherwise, just to say, my uncle is the head of such and such corporation or governor of Massachusetts, it doesn't help. We have to do something for him. There has to be some activity. So simply to know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore I go on with my ordinary mundane activities, that's not knowledge. Just, I know this room is on fire, and therefore I'm going to sit here and continue the lecture. That's not knowledge. If the room is on fire, let's get out of here. That's knowledge. Theoretically, we may say, yes, I know the room is on fire. But that doesn't, you don't really know. Otherwise, you would have gotten out. You're some sort of fool. You know the room's on fire, you're sitting there. If you know, you have to act on your knowledge. That's knowledge. So, one who knows that Krishna is everything, bhajati maam, he engages in the service of Krishna. Sarvabhavena, with all bhava. Sarvabhava, again, can be taken as in every respect, sarvabhavena, in all ways, or with great ecstasy, with all ecstatic feeling for Krishna. Well, we were reading yesterday about the symptoms of ecstasy. One is very eager to chant the holy name of the Lord with the qualities of the Lord. One is detached. One is doesn't want to lose a moment, waste a moment of time of yarta kala tarm. One is very eager to live in a place where Krishna has his pastimes. So there are, these are symptoms of bhava. Bhava is the just prior stage, just before prema, perfect love of Godhead. There is bhava. That's also a perfection. Not the highest perfection, but Practically, it's a very great thing. So, achyuta bhava, love for Krishna, achyuta. The so-called love in the material world will be a failure. It will be a failure, the love in the material world is disappointment. But achyuta bhava, love for Krishna, will, he's infallible. What is that? Ratastapya mejuta. My dear Achyuta, please draw my chariot between the armies. Yes, sir, yes. Yes. Infallibly. He's acting the part of the charioteer for the devotee. So he's following the order of the chariot fighter. Yes. And he's also infallible in instructing Arjuna. Arjuna is infallible because he comes under the influence of mind. But Krishna is infallible. He's not bewildered by any amount of foolish arguments from Arjuna. He doesn't get bewildered. Well, that's a good argument. I never thought of that. No. Kutastva kashma lohidam vishame samapastu. Then where do you get this nonsense? Anarya Drishta Masvarga Nakiritika. This is unbecoming for an Arya, a civilized person. This doesn't lead to the heavenly planets, it leads to Nakirti, loss of reputation. So Krishna is never bewildered by Maya, but the living entity being in the marginal position may sometimes be bewildered by the illusory energy. So, Maitreya approached Vidura approached Maitreya for enlightenment in the topics of Krishna consciousness. Kuru Saptama, is that what it said here? Rishabha Kuru Na. Best among the gurus, practically all the gurus were scheming and plotting. Only Vidura, practically Bhishma also, but Vidura consistently opposed the schemes and plots and even spoke out at the Asapsapa. What is this nonsense? So he's the best of the gurus. He approached Maitreya, Agata Bodham, deep in knowledge, unfathomed knowledge, Agata Bodham. And Prapaccha Shoshilya Gunabhitripta. Maitreya was deep in knowledge and Vidura was satisfied in transcendental qualities, guna, abhitripta, and shaushilya also. Shaushilya means gentle, not a ruffian, not a puffed up upstart. To advance in Krishna consciousness, amanitva, adambitva, one has to be humble, not arrogant, not puffed up. So they're meeting at this transcendental place, Haridwar. The Kumbh Mela is performed once every 12 years in four places. One of them is Haridwar, in the foothills of the Himalayas. Haridwar is the doorway to the personality of God. The Ganga goes there to Haridwar. And there, by the at the source of the Ganga, these two great personalities met and will have the opportunity to hear the topics they discuss. Okay, what kind of questions?
Mm-hmm. Our godbrother Gaur Keshav says, ISKCON is the only Vaishnava line that says the living entities fall from the spiritual world. The other Vaishnavas in the movie, they don't say that.
Okay. You don't mind saying things that others don't say? They may say or not say, we don't care. We're going to say what we've heard from the authority. If they don't say falling, okay. The topic is not such a simple thing that people can just read in a book, oh, we fell from the spiritual world, or we didn't fall from the spiritual world, and now they've understood everything. Oh, we belong to the Tathasta region. Oh, that explains everything. All right, where the hell's the Tathasta region? Just north of where? These things are to be understood with depth, not just superficially. It's not just meant for sloganeering and contests. It's meant for deep realization. What is our position? We're called fallen souls. We may have fallen from here, from there, but we're fallen. What's it matter to you? You will stay here fallen and argue about where we fell from. What's the use? That looks like a joke. There was a satirical article where a riot broke out because devotees were arguing about who is the most fallen. I'm the most fallen. No, I'm the most fallen. It became a riot. So you could have a similar riot over where we fell from. We fell from Vaikuntha. No, you can't fall from Vaikuntha. You must have fallen from someplace else. So, anyway, here we are, fallen. What are you going to do about it? Govinda Maharaj and I have a running argument about this because I say that the jiva fell from Cincinnati and he says it's Nashville. What does it matter?
He says it's Nashville?
Nashville. Nashville, Tennessee. So I'm arguing whether it falls from Prague or Berlin. Anyway, we're falling. Patitam maam vishamev maam. Prabhupada translates, somehow or other. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says we're patita, fallen. He doesn't bother spending time on where we've fallen, but he says we're fallen. Patitam maam vishamev. Somehow I've fallen into the ocean of birth and death, into the ocean of material sense gratification. We were reading the other day in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because of forgetfulness. The living entity forgetting his position in the Bengali. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shikshastika, in the last, and toward the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita with the Shikshastika, verses are described when Kaviraj Goswami paraphrases this verse, Patitam maam. He says, forgetting you, I've fallen into this material world. Well, that's the essence of the thing. Where we forgot, how we forgot. Go figure. But somehow we've forgotten our eternal relationship with Krishna. That's the point. That's the essential point. Other things are you can write your dissertation about what Ramanuja says and what Madhva says and what somebody else says and what somebody else says and how this one differs from that one and how there's a slightly different angle on it from this sampradaya, slightly angle from that. Somehow or other we're fallen. That's the position. And our position, our business is to get unfallen, which means to revive our internal relationship. Yes.
Bhagavad Gita was spoken, how was he fallible and Krishna was unfallible?
Hmm?
How was he fallible and Lord Krishna unfallible? Or he was just playing?
He's always fallible. Living entities are, have a fall down capability. Therefore, they're called marginal. But Krishna's arrangement, he's placed into illusion. Without Krishna's arrangement, that would be impossible.
Was it Yogamaya? Or?
Yeah, you could say Yogamaya. Mahamaya is also a part of Yogamaya. Reflection.
Stage we just read is prema, and when we have got prema, then we can go back, go back to Godhead. And then we have earlier heard that in that case we would liberate 100 generations before us and 100 generations in future. But which kind of liberation is that? Free from karma or free from what?
Yeah, at least free from karma. So many generations liberated, at least free from sinful reactions. What more Krishna may choose to give, that's up to him. But at least free from sinful reactions. Okay. Something else?
Felt like I've reached the goal, but then a little later it becomes and comes and lands and a little bit more in reality. And I wonder, what is that? Is that
it's coming attractions?
Is that an infatuation period? Is that chemical?
Chemical. It depends what one's doing before, I suppose. But, of course, in the beginning, we're so totally wrapped up in the material energy, when we come in touch with the spiritual energy, it's like a jolt or the difference between night and day, as they say. One is in touch with, it's like being in prison and you get out. So there's such an enormous difference between starving and getting food. So we're starving for so long, and then we come in touch with food, Krishna consciousness. So at once we become ecstatic. Or we, yes, why not ecstatic? But then we understand that there's further development, that we're not all the way there. And then we become hopeless. Oh, there's so much further to go. But we understand that it's not one day's business to become situated in Krishna consciousness perfectly. But we never want to go back to the material energy. It's just a question of making further progress. In one sense, the whole process is ecstatic. One feels such an enormous difference in the beginning. But during the whole process, now one is situated on the spiritual platform. So in one sense, it's all ecstatic. There's just ordinary ecstasy and extraordinary ecstasy. The routine, you take our routine program, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, see the deities, hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole program is ecstatic. But that's just an ordinary day. Then we have good days, special days, extraordinary days. But the baseline is already ecstatic. Yeah, that's like ordinary sociology in one sense. Charisma is attractive. The you know, something, yeah, that may be there. That things are humdrum, you want something more exciting, more ecstatic, more. And that's a, you know, what attracts people to ecstatic movements or charismatic movements is a big topic. I don't think I need to get into all the ins and outs of sociology here. Sociology of religion. Why get into it?
Progress is just sometimes so hard to notice.
Progress is sometimes hard to notice. Then you look back where you were and where you are, and progress with it. Of course, sometimes it's also hard to notice that we're not making progress, that we're standing still, that we're not going anywhere. But we seem to be, you know, because we're well situated, we become complacent, and then that becomes problematic. Well, I don't need to, you know, I don't need to hear some, I don't need parents in class, I don't need deity worship, I don't need to follow this principle or that principle so strictly. And then one, because I'm you know, no problems are falling my way. But then problems will fall our way if we become inattentive. So that's the other side. Then we don't notice that we're slowly losing it. Then we're becoming weaker. So it can work both ways. We don't realize that we're gradually becoming stronger, gradually becoming stronger, or we don't realize how we're gradually becoming weaker. So we should see to it. If we follow the prescribed course of activities, we'll become stronger and stay strong. Risk taking is not recommended in this regard. Something else.
As I understand, when you know there are people with extraordinary talents, when they pass away, do these talents follow them?
Sometimes.
Like I think Srila Prabhupada once mentioned about the musicians, that great composers that.
That was Sadhguru who brought that example. Yeah, I don't think Srila Prabhupada brought that example. Sadhguru did. But we see that anything, if you have some ability, there are people who are extraordinary mathematicians, extraordinary composers, extraordinary, all sorts of extraordinary things from like childhood. Somebody's composing symphonies when he's 6, when he's 8. Somebody's immediately expert in so many things. So that's coming from a previous life. And you wanted to be a composer and Krishna was helping you according to your previous activities. The testament to your Gyan, the poem, and the otherwise, how do you explain? Especially there was a Hollywood production of film Audrey Rose, which had reincarnation as a central theme. And I think Arna Sringananda Prabhu was acquainted with the person who made the film. And the story of how he got started had to do with his sitting on the lawn one day in his large Hollywood estate, maybe with his wife. And from the inside the house, house, he started hearing this ragtime piano music, Scott Joplin sort of stuff. Those who know Scott Joplin, ragtime piano music, and he was a little surprised because you know he left the radio on, or you know, how is this ragtime piano music coming out of the house all of a sudden? So he went back to the house to see what was going on. And his little son, I don't know how old he was, but he was just a little kid, was sitting at the piano playing this, you know, quite sophisticated ragtime music. And, you know, when did you learn to do that? No, I just know how to do it. And he, you know, called his wife, and, you know, pretty soon it's like, what is going on here? And it was quite a perplexity, and somehow or other he gradually got into the association of mystically inclined people who gave him the idea that it must have been from a previous life. And so his interest in those topics was piqued. So there's a practical example. And how does this little kid, you know, just, I just know how to do it. So that's coming from a previous life. Otherwise, skills don't just pop up like that all of a sudden. But they may not follow. You may be a great composer in one life and a great bug in the next. Sure, why not? Especially considering the lives of some of those composers. They can misuse your talents and misuse your uniform of life. And one life you're a great composer, and the next life you're a bug. Or maybe you're a songbird.
The interests do not follow automatically?
According to one's pious credit. Not just enough to be interested. You know, I'm interested in 18th century art. That doesn't get me an 18th century art collection. I have to have a lot of money to go along with my interest. So just to have an interest or inclination in a certain direction without the pious credit. You know, there's so many people who are interested in business, interested in art, interested in writing, you know, so many writers, you know, writing their novel. And they're writing it for themselves. It's not going to go anywhere. For every Hemingway, there's 2,472 failures. More than that. So, why? I mean, or sometimes there was. A simple thing, like in the early 1960s, folk music became a very big thing. And there were all these people in the folk music scene. Some of them were, quite a number of them were very, very good. There was one, Carolyn Hester. She was associated with Bob Dylan in some ways, and she was a very good singer. And she just didn't go anywhere. She was good as Joan Baez, who became, you know, a superstar. Every bit is good. But one became a big name, and the other just kind of, her career just didn't happen. Although she was every bit as good. But according to one's destiny, there are probably even people who were better who never became anything. You know, they just wound up singing in their kitchens. But according to destiny, someone becomes, you know, discovered and becomes a big star and becomes a this and a that. And somebody else just kind of doesn't go anywhere or never gets off the ground or gets a little bit of acclaim, but not much. Leonard Bernstein sprang into prominence. He was a sort of understudy conductor, and then at one concert at the New York Philharmonic, whoever it was, they celebrated person who was supposed to conduct the orchestra fell ill, and it was a big disappointment for everybody. Okay, anyway, we're here. And so this young fellow conducted the orchestra, and it was just incredible. Everybody was amazed at how good he was, and it was like an overnight sensational sensation. But, you know, the guy might not have gotten sick. And, you know, Leonard Bernstein might never have come to public attention. Of course, he might have some other way. But it just was set up that way by Krishna. On account of his pious activities, the other guy had to get sick. Leonard Bernstein had to stand on the podium and conduct the orchestra. The critics all had to take notice. If Krishna desires, you become super famous. And if Krishna desires, you're every bit as good as the famous man, and nobody notices. Or if Krishna desires, you're actually no good, and still you become. There are people who are really bad. And yet, they're the ones who become the great celebrated writers or singers or whatever it is.
One sometimes wonders.
Yeah, one sometimes wonders. They're really bad. You know, you look back 20 years later and say, you know, what was that all about? Yeah, everybody's oohing and aahing, and, you know, in retrospect, the guy was ordinary, or really bad, actually. But somehow, by pious activities, he's meant to become somebody, and he does. Can't stop it. Or in business, you know, somebody just becomes rich. You know, some lucky thing happens, or a business plan that should have failed just becomes super successful, or there's no plan, and still he's super successful. And the super successful plan fails. You know, the guy with all the backing and all the plans and everything and all the experience fails. And the guy who really doesn't quite understand what he's doing and somehow or other just takes off. So it's not just desire. They're equally interested in making money or being successful in business or introducing some new way of doing something. And one fails and one succeeds. Yeah. And Fidel Castro, you should have been assassinated 60,000 times. The entire United States government wanted to kill this man and tried many times. And even, you know, the great United States of America couldn't kill the guy. If it's not your destiny to be killed, even the United States can't kill you. With all their commandos and all their dirty tricks and everything. Couldn't kill him. Why? Because by his destiny, he's meant to be not infallible, but to have a long life and be in charge of Cuba for so many decades. Really. I suppose Kennedy must have been among those who wanted to assassinate Castro, and Kennedy got assassinated. According to, you know, he had money, he had so much protection, he had bodyguards, he had everything. He gets assassinated, and this guy Castro, you know, what is he? Some guy in the jungle with a batch of revolutionaries. He lives for decades, and the guy who's coming from an aristocratic family and has so much money and the whole military establishment and bodyguards and everything, he gets shot. You know, it's our desire and what we deserve according to pious or impious activities, previous credit or debt. politicians, folk singers, artists. But the same applies to all of us, according to pious or impious activities. Karma da dhyavane trena chantu, the living being according to his karma, and by the control of higher authorities, takes his birth here or there and gets a certain destiny.
I have a question about this practical application, like Trinada Pisanichana and people in general, just outside in the society.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I mean, it feels like Krishna wants to teach me a lesson to those
mm-hmm.
people also. Those people also are teaching us a lesson. Somehow they're empowered. Maybe we should. Maybe I didn't ask a question properly. That we should take a humble stand even in dealings with non-devotees.
Yeah, we should be humble even in dealings with non-devotees. Yes, I'm not sure how you came to that conclusion, but it's true.
It's like they are empowered by Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhupada said that one time about dealing with college students. He said that we should be prepared to... we should be prepared with arguments and reason. And he said we should be prepared to also to listen to them, you know, to let them speak and have their say and listen to their arguments. You know, however foolish we think it is, we have to be patient and listen to their arguments so that we can respond. And Prabhupada, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhaumabhata Charja is speaking so many things, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just humbly listening, even though he's thinking it's all nonsense, he's just listening. So Prabhupada said, and so we have to be patient like that. He said, they may be puffed up. He said, but they deserve it. You know, they're entitled to be puffed up. Yeah, they're smart. They're intellectually something or other. So they can be a little, they're entitled to be puffed up. They're fools. But they have some entitlement to being puffed up. So in that way you can take it. But these materialists, by the grace of Krishna, they've got something. They've got some intelligence, or they've got some beauty, or they've got some good behavior, or they've got some influence. And who is that? Who's saying? Is it Prabhupada Saraswati? I think so. Saying that you're a very great person. You have so many good qualities. Hey, sadhava, you're just like a saintly person. And now give up all your nonsense and surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Taking the straw in my teeth. You have all these good qualities. Now stop all your nonsense and surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Thank you for sitting so quietly. You have a question?
Yes. I want to come back to this topic when somebody becomes a big man, because he's a good guy. Can this thing happen in spiritual movements?
What things happen in spiritual movements?
That somebody by his good karma become
a big
swami
man?
Or something like this, and then he falls.
Yeah, somebody according to his previous activities, he has some credit. He may have the qualities of a leader, he may have the qualities of an artist, he may have the qualities of a writer, he may have the qualities of a good speaker, he may have the qualities of a good musician, he may have the qualities of this, or may quickly develop those qualities. On account not only of his karma, but of his past devotional activities, not just material credit. He may have performed devotional service in previous lives, or he may have, by karma, developed skills of material value, you can say, business skills or leadership qualities or managerial skills or what have you. But that doesn't make him impenetrable, infallible, immune to the material energy. If we think, well, I'm this or I'm that, I'm a swami, I'm a guru, I'm a GBC man, I'm a temple president, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a Pujari, whatever it is, maybe whatever you are, but when we become puffed up, then we can be in trouble.
So, how can we understand who's really infallible?
Who's what?
Who's really, really strong?
Infallible.
Infallible.
Who's infallible?
Or who is just by good, by his good karma, from this.
Everybody's gotten there by Krishna's mercy, or previous, you can say it by previous credit or Krishna's mercy, whatever we have. Now it's a question of what we do with it. Somebody may not have much, you know, he's just a small guy, but he accepts that. He said, I'm a small guy, but I'm going to serve Krishna. I'm going to do my little bit and dedicate my tiny little life to Krishna. And someone's a big guy, and he says, I've got all these capabilities, but what use are they unless I dedicate my life to Krishna? Or the big guy says, I'm such a big guy, you know, and becomes puffed up. Or the little guy says, you know, same sort of thing. Yeah, because even the little guy can be proud of whatever little bit he has. So we're all wherever we are by Krishna's grace, but we have to depend on Krishna and cultivate that mentality, trinada pisuni chena, tamura pisuni chena. Depend on Krishna's protection. Otherwise, any one of us can fall into the material world. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Does the proud one understand or know that he's proud? And if not...
Does the proud one know that he's proud? It may be that the proud person knows that he's proud, but doesn't know how proud he is. Yeah, we all probably will admit that we have a little bit of pride, but we may not recognize that we've just got a wall of it, an ocean of it. And you think, yeah, you know, we're all a little proud. I guess I have a little pride too. Yeah, but meanwhile, you think you're acting like you're king of the hill. And that may be there. Or a person may genuinely recognize that he has a problem with pride. And a person may, if he's introspective, he's fortunate, he may see, I've got such a false ego. I really have to do something about this. Or a person may be totally clueless, he has no idea, he thinks he's humble. So that also depends on Krishna's mercy. And Krishna's mercy, the person who's proud, maybe blessed with some realization. Or Krishna may change the circumstances and place him in a position where humility is fostered. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, if you try to follow your spiritual master's orders, and you, it's like you're in your goal in life, you try to get by quite nicely, and you are thankful to him. But then, sometimes you do some horrible activities, you fall down in your sleep, sort of. How shall you feel?
Bad.
Do they count, or do they
control? Fall down. If one slips, one falls, then naturally you'll feel bad. You're trying to follow, but you're incapable, or you do something terrible, or you deviate.
In a dream, I mean.
Oh, in a dream?
Yeah.
Oh, in a dream. You're following, except not in your dreams?
No, sometimes it's like, you just woke up like, oh my God, it's like...
Oh, well, you should count yourself lucky that it was in your dream. You know, you can be a little careful and say, wow, if that was in my dream, I wonder, you know, how deep it is in my consciousness. But you can count yourself lucky, you know, if the horrible things you did were just in your dream. That's a better place to have it than while you're awake. So Krishna minimized it. You only whatever it was, shot your wife in the dream. She can count herself lucky also. But you know, whatever it was just in a dream. So that's minimized. Previous ages, if you even thought about the things or dreamed about it, then you got the reaction. In Kali Yuga, it's minimized. So we would like to have such pure consciousness that even in our dreams we only think of Krishna all the time. So we can think that if I'm having these dreams, then the consciousness is not completely pure. But we can be grateful that at least it was just a dream.
But the dream, they're also a reflection of consciousness. So it's good to...
Yeah, we should think that if I'm dreaming about these things, then I wonder where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't just come out of nowhere. It means there's junk accumulated since time immemorial. So that we have to be serious about the cleansing process.
I have a question about this, and how introspective should we be actually when we follow the process?
How introspective should we be when following the process? Well, on one side, you want to be introspective. You want to be considering, am I following these instructions? Am I taking these things too hard? Does this apply to me? How does it apply to me? It's called realization, taking the instructions and applying them to your own life. So from that point of view, you want to be introspective. From another point of view, you don't want to be just absorbed, self-absorbed in the mundane psychological sense, and you know, always gauging your psychological response, so that everything's about you and your psychology. You don't want to be introspective that way, that you're so introspective that you have no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam, that you chant Hare Krishna and instead of listening to the mantra, you're being introspective. You don't want to be, in other words, self-obsessed. But introspective is otherwise healthy.
Because I've heard it like, if you want to come from A to B, then you have to know where you are, actually. Where
yeah, you should know where you are. Let's say Krishna consciously introspective, not self-indulgently introspective, where you know the whole drama is all about you and all about your feelings and all about getting in touch with yourself and more about all about being honest with yourself and all about being, you know, drugstore, psychology, minded. And life is one big therapy, in the mundane sense. But to be Krishna consciously introspective, kind of everything's like that. When it becomes self-indulgent, then it's nonsense. But when it becomes helpful for the service of Krishna, then it's good. So you want to be introspective in a Krishna conscious way. Am I following the instructions of my spiritual master? Am I reading with attention? Am I chanting attentively? Am I cutting down false prestige? Am I cutting down my desires for sense gratification? Am I developing the qualities that are wanted? You know, these sort of introspection. Am I making progress? Is there more I can do? That introspection is good.
Krishna, Krishna.